In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit. Amen. There are two particular feast days in the life of the Church that have at times been enigmatic and beyond my full understanding. This great feast that we celebrate today of Pentecost, next week's great feast of the Most Holy Trinity. Not a lack of understanding theologically, if you will, for I have gone to seminary, I have studied. I believe I have some understanding of what it is that the Church teaches us, but still remaining slightly beyond my control or comprehension. There is a reality to the Father and to the Son that is easily grasped, relationships, of course, with which we are familiar on a natural level. But relationship with the Holy Spirit and the economy of the Blessed Trinity is something that has to be given to us. And a relationship that is real and true, yes, but a relationship that on one level requires much more work. And as very much a Roman Catholic, in that phrase, Roman Catholic, a Western Catholic, the Western Church in its theological reflections didn't always have the same ease and facility with the Holy Spirit that is found with our Eastern brethren. Our Eastern brethren, especially in their liturgical expressions, have a great intimacy with the Holy Spirit and speak eloquently and easily about being overshadowed by, overcome by the power of the Holy Spirit. That is not necessarily language that is easy for us as Romans. We are a right-brained, very organized religious people. And the Holy Spirit doesn't always fit, if you will, into a nice theological box. What remains slightly enigmatic for me, what remained that way, was at times what we experience in our epistle and in our gospel. The Holy Spirit comes down as tongues of fire, violently so, shaking the house in which the apostles find themselves, such that everyone comes out to see what it is that has transpired. And then in our gospel from St. John, the Lord, as he prepares his disciples that he will take his leave from them, reminds them that he will send the Advocate, the one who will not only continue to teach, but with him comes peace. An abiding peace, not just the absence of conflict and difficulty, but a peace that rests in the very depths of our being, the very depths of our souls. And so which is it? Is it that spirit of fire and tongues and violence? Or is it that spirit of peace and tranquility that rests upon us and truly allows us to be in the world as God intends it to be? And the answer, of course, obviously, it is both. It needs no reconciliation. Rather, it only needs deeper understanding from me. God himself has made very clear that these two dynamics, which we might experience as contradictions, actually, in truth, they make perfect sense. Such is the power of God, that when it is experienced at times, it is violent and earth-shaking and shattering. It requires a response from us. And if our response is one of fear and trembling, that too makes sense as we stand before the awesome tremendousness that is God himself. How does one look upon the face of God and live? How does one share in the power and outpouring of the Holy Spirit and not find oneself overwhelmed and brought down, brought low, brought to their knees? And yet at the same time, that same Spirit and all of the power that he brings, all the glory and majesty and tremendousness that is experienced in him, he likewise brings peace, an abiding peace that manifests itself in a great and profound charity. One of the great graces of being the rector, and there are so many, I find myself not being able to account all of them, is that I've had to return to the classroom. I am my own teacher, and therefore I find my own textbooks, but what has been opened to me was the treasures of the Church that existed before 1962. And it is a treasure trove that continues to bear riches beyond my understanding. One of these is the great French bishop and theologian, Jacques Bignet Bonsuit, 17th century theologian and writer, great orator and preacher. And this is his reflection on this particular day, putting both of these realities one next to another. He says this tension that exists between the tremendousness of God, which may manifest itself in violence and earth-shattering realities, and the charity and the purity and the peace of heart to which we are called, he says, but it is not so with our generous Christians. They, us, are firm against perils, but they are tender in loving their brethren. And the all-powerful Spirit which pushes them knows well the secret of according such opposed contraries. He goes on to speak about the power of the Spirit and makes very clear that it is precisely the gift of the Spirit that allows these two to exist side by side. Which means, brothers and sisters, we can be bold and courageous and strong. We can be warlike in our interactions with the world, and at the same time be called to temper those with the greatest charity and patience and love. We need not, in a sense, let ourselves be boxed into the corner that oftentimes is hurled against us when we preach the truth that, well, you can't say this or that in this particular way because you're not being loving as Christ is loving. But the love of Christ and the outpouring of the Holy Spirit sometimes do indeed shake the very foundations upon which we find ourselves. Sometimes the love of God and the mystery of the cross to which we are called requires from us a Herculean sacrifice beyond our comprehension that does not necessarily bring peace as the world envisions peace. The peace of the world is born from resignation and defeat and compromise. It is not a giving over to God, it is a giving up rather. And it is simply living and being satisfied with the status quo as it is, hence the status quo, instead of actually moving forward with God, realizing that indeed we can transform and change the world. Not us, but God working through us. This is a good and necessary lesson for the world in which we live today. Not by nature am I a pugnacious person, but I have become so by virtue of the world in which we live today. Contrary to what people think about me, I do not enjoy fighting, but I never shy away from a fight. But we aren't all called to go forth and fight, if you will, at least not in the same manner. But we are all called to be strong and bold and courageous in preaching and proclaiming the truth. And if indeed it is experienced by those who receive what it is that we offer them as this violence against them, we cannot cower away. We cannot run away. We cannot move back from the truth as if somehow because they can't handle it, we have to transform and change the truth. Quite the opposite is true. Before the truth, before God himself, what is required not that God change, but that we be transformed. Not that God be pulled from his heavens in order to be with us here on earth, except in the manner that he himself has decided. But instead, by that same Spirit that we've received, we can be drawn up into the mystery that is God, Father, Son, and Spirit. And yet at the exact same time, we are required, brothers and sisters, in our courageousness, in our boldness, in our warlike visage, we are required to do so with charity, patience, and forbearance, understanding that where we are may not be where others are. And by God's divine providence, in that same Spirit that gives us courage and boldness, that same Spirit will lead these people to whom we preach and proclaim truth to live as God intends. How do I balance this? How do I use this power and temper it with charity? By my own willingness to be molded and led by the Holy Spirit. St. Bernardine of Siena described our Blessed Mother as a wheel easily moved and prompted by an outpouring of the Holy Spirit. She who was the first to receive this overshadowing, this complete gift of the Holy Spirit, therefore well prepared for to teach the apostles what it means to wait for the coming of the Holy Spirit. And as we hear from the Acts of the Apostles, when the Holy Spirit does indeed come, they are able to go amidst the crowds with just a few moments ago, who were the source of their fear, and preach the truth about the wonderful works of God. And so, as always, we are close to our Blessed Mother, because she can teach and instruct us to find that proper balance, or rather, to allow God to find that balance in us and for us. On our part, we make ourselves ready for the Holy Spirit when He comes to us, however it is He might manifest Himself to us. Whether it be in our own individual prayer, prompting us in the quiet of our hearts to put out into the deep to be an instrument of transformation. Whether it is Holy Mother Church calling us to a particular vocation, priesthood, or consecrated religious life. And in those particular vocations, to go forth and preach and live in such a way that the reality of God is transformative to those who see and hear what it is that we have to say, what it is that we do. All of the ways that the Holy Spirit continues to vivify the life of the Church, these are the things to which we are open, waiting, like our Blessed Mother, to be easily moved by whatever the Holy Spirit asks us to do. But let's be clear. Do not be afraid of the boldness and the courageousness that may seem as if it is this violent, earth-shattering reality. Do not shy away from the power that the Holy Spirit will bestow upon you to go forth and transform the world. Certainly never be deterred by those who in the midst of relationship with God are all too weak and frail to accept the truth that He Himself has revealed to us and He asks us to share with the whole world. How blessed, brothers and sisters, we truly are to receive the gift of the Holy Spirit, who continues the work of our Lord and Savior, and now prepares us to go forth and to witness to this good news. But as our gospel concludes, the reality of what the Lord has come to do is to reveal the love of the Father and to do all the Father has commanded Him to do. And so it is for each of us to love our Heavenly Father and to love one another, and to do whatever it is that we are commanded to do. In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit. Amen.